Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
3, 2, 1.
It's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Later on this afternoon, we'll have WWE Women's Champion Rhea Ripley. She will join us about 3:30 today. But leading off, the man that just finished up covering the Panthers OTA stuff, he is from WFNZ, Mr. Will Pelagic. Will, what's up, my friend?
Afternoon, Rob. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's always great to have you with us today. I got tough folks, you and Rhea Ripley together. I'm not better have my stuff together as we get moving today.
Just don't put us in the ring together. That's all I ask.
She's impressive. Let's just leave it at that. All right, but you were out there with some other impressive athletes today, of course, as you just finished up the OTA stuff with the Carolina Panthers. Any fascinating news to report today?
Well, they're all. It seems to me that the one thing that's kind of the big story right now that's coming out of Panther camp is the attendance. Now, some days it's been better than others, but for the most part, they've had pretty perfect attendance in terms of the amount of guys that are out here. There are some camps that are reporting around 45% to 50% attendance when it comes to their guys, because a lot of them are sitting out because the NFL Players Association said that because of the voluntary nature of off-season training activities that they were basically encouraging their players to stay away. But most of the Panthers have been here, except for the one notable exception, which is Robbie Anderson, who they do not expect to at least to be up here until mandatory minicamp begins next week. But everything has looked pretty interesting so far, although as Phil Snow told us yesterday, the defensive coordinator, it's not quite football yet. It looks more like PE, so it's a lot of conditioning. They are doing some 11-on-11 work, but it's all without pads, so you kind of take everything you see with a bit of a grain of salt.
Of course, you tweeted out yesterday that Sam Darnold said that he had not gotten the vaccine yet. Was that kind of surprising?
It is, though, again, it's kind of a situation where everybody has kind of taken this stance of it's their own choice and their own prerogative of whether or not they're going to do it or not. You know, I feel like when it comes down to this, I feel like the initial impact on this particular situation for the Panthers is they want to get their team to the 85% vaccination range in terms of their entire team, or at least 85% of their team, because that's when protocols can be relaxed. You don't have to test every day, and there's certain other impacts that are positive to the team that get to that point. But I did find it rather surprising, definitely.
You know, with the Panthers, they're coming off of a 5-11 season. And, you know, when I watched Panthers games last year, I looked and I was like, yeah, they went 5-11. They just seemed like they were better than that. They seemed like they were more, towards the end of the season, it teetered off a little bit. But, you know, going into this season, what do you think is going to be the flex point player that can help turn that 5 maybe into a 7 or an 8?
Well, the biggest problem last year, Rob, was they didn't finish games. And a lot of that, I know that Teddy Bridgewater gets a lot of the blame for that, and he does rightfully so. But when you lose those one-score games or games where you had a chance with the ball, one score down, and you don't win any of them, I feel like you turn right to the quarterback position and Sam Darnold. And I feel like he's going to bring a competence to the position they didn't have a year ago, but it all comes down to the other parts and how they mesh together. I feel like not having Christian McCaffrey is a last year it was a big reason why a lot of those wins did not happen, especially because in the middle of the game he has so much versatility and escapability that could have gotten the Panthers more explosive plays so that you could avoid some of those late game scenarios being what they are. The offensive line is still a work in progress. I feel like the left side of it is still very much a an open book in terms of exactly where they're going to go. But if there's going to be something that's a calling card for this team, it has to be defensively. That's where all the strength is on this football team, with the building blocks of Brian Burns and Jeremy Chinn. They've added some newcomers, including Denzel Perryman as a linebacker, Hassan Reddick, and, of course, the sensational rookie J.C. Horn, the former South Carolina Gamecock, as their first-round draft pick. They've got the ability to be a lot more versatile and a lot more mobile defensively than they did at any time under Phil Snow's tutelage last year. They can play a lot more press man coverage, and they should also have a better pass rush than they've had in Carolina, that they've had in a very long time.
You know, but you mentioned J.C. Horn. How excited are they about having him, and what exactly can he bring to that defense to make them more versatile?
Well, it's like I said earlier, you know, they played a lot of zone on the back end last year because they were having to go with Dante Jackson on one side and basically Troy Pride and a rotating cavalcade of unrequited rookies on the other side of the football field at corner, and didn't exactly have the safeties to back things up. Even when they dropped Jeremy Chinn back into the secondary as a safety, it didn't look like the kind of defense you could use as a lockdown defense. It was basically a lot of zone and playing in space, but Horn's ability to play press man and play bump and run is going to allow them to do the same thing on the opposite side with either Dante Jackson or A.J. Bouye, who they brought in during the offseason. Now, Bouye won't play the first two games because of serving a PED suspension that carried over from his time last year with Jacksonville, but they have a lot more options now with Horn. They love how big he is. They love how physical he is and how receptive he is to coaching. They've been really impressed, and even yesterday when we talked to Dante Jackson, he said, you know, J.C. Horn comes in as advertised, and they're really excited about him.
Should be interesting to see how that works out for the Panthers. You know, last season they had Mike Davis, of course, and he filled in a good bit when Christian McCaffrey was out. What are they doing behind McCaffrey at running back? Because Davis did a good job, but, of course, ended up moving on.
He did. He's now with Atlanta, and they drafted Chuba Hubbard, in, I believe, the third round with their pick there from Oklahoma State. And he was somebody who I feel like was a much higher-ranked prospect before this past college season. He was somebody who I think also had some dark horse Heisman hype at points of his collegiate career, but just never really put it together. But it's a guy who's had all the tools, and they really like what he brings to the table. He's kind of battling back from some off-season surgery and cleanup, but he should be ready to go when they put the pads on in Spartanburg here on the 27th of July. But, you know, there's obviously a real I think, appetite to having both Hubbard and McCaffrey on the field at the same time, because that just diversifies what you can do offensively with McCaffrey. They don't want to run McCaffrey in between the tackles 25 times. They want to get him the ball, you know, 15 times in the backfield, you know, 5 to 10 times out on the perimeter. I feel like if there's a number out there, they want to be able to get Christian McCaffrey about 25 touches in a variety of ways, and Hubbard's a big part of that.
All right, I want to move on and talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs, but you tweeted out something a couple of days ago where you said that there was a soccer matchup that drew higher ratings than the first round of the playoffs. What exactly do you think that entails?
Well, the soccer matchup you're referencing was the U.S. men's national team's game in the CONCACAF Nations League final against Mexico. And that was, again, the first year of that particular tournament. And it got a lot of attention on Univision. I think they get 4 million just on Univision alone. It was also broadcast on CBS Sports Network. More people in this country get Univision than they do CBS Sports Network. So, you know, a lot of people were watching it there. And also, they happen to do a pretty good coverage, even if you're not a Spanish speaker. So, there was a lot of intrigue for that particular event, especially because of the different machinations that took place involving that game. It's a big rivalry. There was some unruly fan behavior and also some significant calls in the way of a video assistant referee that led to that match being more compelling. But as far as what the NBA has looked like, look, the problem that the NBA has had is that you've had a lot of blowouts. And you've had really some series that I think we expected a lot more from. I even think, you know, the Lakers going down in the fashion that they did, it lacked a compelling nature. I feel like the only series that really have shown a real I think, metal to them are the ones involving Atlanta. Their series against the New York Knicks had a lot of attention and drew a lot of eyeballs. A lot of that because of Trae Young's instigating with the Madison Square Garden crowd, and then the MSG response with the one fan who unfortunately spit on him, which was incredibly deplorable. But outside of that, and you know, a couple of other market outliers, you really haven't seen a lot of compelling action. I think we all expected a lot more from Brooklyn and Milwaukee. That's been a dud so far. I think Atlanta-Philly is a good series. But even the two series out west right now, I mean, Phoenix has throttled Utah in their one series. And I feel like even the Denver series right now is still kind of trying to get its footing, obviously. But I feel like the only problem that we have right now is that these matchups that we thought that we expected a lot out of have failed to deliver so far.
You know, and I agree with you, but being the big Suns fan that I am, I think I'm the only Suns fan in Northwest South Carolina. But I've been watching all of the Suns games, and of course I'm liking it because they're doing some great stuff there. But you know, the Mavericks series with the Clippers, that was a pretty good series as far as
games. That was good. But, yeah, that was good. I didn't mean to leave that one out. The one that I feel like there was that there was such a topsy-turvy nature to that series. Like, for example, you know, it looked like the Clippers early on in that series were left for dead, and you thought Luka was going to have his way, and then all of a sudden the adjustments made by Ty Lue and the Clippers made that competitive series again. But for some reason, it does not have the juice that I feel like a lot of people thought it would have going into this particular postseason. I feel like when we get down to four, two on each side, I feel like maybe then there'll be an intensity of the like a little bit more of the microscope on these teams, especially if we get, you know, a situation where Phoenix continues to go on that run. But to me, I wonder what the appetite right now is for these series, because it really has unfortunately been a bit disappointing, I guess, to the naked eye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, you mentioned earlier about the incident in New York where the fans spit on the player from Atlanta there. What's the best way to deal with that? I mean, because it's like, you know, you eject somebody, but you still have issues. It seems like we're getting more and more of them, or maybe now they're just more publicized.
I mean, I feel like the way to handle it is to create a deterrent, Rob. I mean, that's the ultimate situation. I feel like banning somebody from an arena is one thing, but like having real world consequences, like, you know, outing them and you know, putting criminal charges on them and having them face the music in a way is how you at least, number one, expose the problem that I feel like, as you said, is one that has been a problem for a while. It's not just something that's happened in the last month or so since we've opened games back up. This has been a problem for years, especially in the NBA. I mean, you look no further than the Malice in the Palace. That all started with the cup being thrown Ron Artest's way. And it's the one sport where the fans are closest to the players on the court. And while they want to do everything they possibly can in terms of allowing those fans to have that access, because those seats, as you know, the ones that are very close up like that, they cost a pretty penny and they're part of the big revenue stream. If you've ever seen what those tickets go for on StubHub or SeatGeek, Rob, your eyes would bulge out of your sockets, especially on, and that's on the resale market, not just what they cost on retail. So for me, they've got to find a way to provide a better deterrent for this kind of behavior, because it's getting out of hand.
Completely agree with you on that. Now, I got to ask you about one final thing before we get out of here. I know that you've been up there covering some big boy sports with the Hornets and the Panthers and everything else, but into the college football world, it was announced today that they're going to have, they're going to recommend a 12-team playoff. I mean, I'm in the camp of, I think that's too much, but then again, you know, it may be just right. What's your opinion on that? The top six highest ranked, conference champions, and then basically another six.
Well, you mentioned the big boy sports in Charlotte, Rob. We will be the center of the college football universe in the opening weekend of the season because of the big Georgia-Clemson contest that will take place literally about 500 feet from where I'm standing right now at Bank of America Stadium. The only thing that I will say about the 12 versus the 4 is that it seemed like we had reached the consensus that 4 is not enough, and that all of a sudden, you know, people thought that, you know, 8 was the model just because of the the 5 plus 2 at-larges and one from the non-power 5, the group of 5. I feel like people have kind of looked at that as the incentive, but I think you have to take a closer look at where the appetite of not only the college football power brokers are at, but where the appetite of the college football fan is. I know that people are worried about diluting the regular season, but the problem is the regular season already feels very diluted because when you're eliminating going into a season, basically 96% of your entire electorate, if you will, in terms of trying to compete for a national championship, that's not a good thing for the sport. And when you're going into a year, when people say who's going to be in the college football playoff, well, Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma, and pick your fourth. That's not a good model for college football. And I feel like they're trying to eliminate that predetermined predestination of teams going to the college football playoff. We still might get, at the end of the day, Alabama, Clemson, Clemson, Ohio State, whatever you want to call the final game as far as those go. But these other schools, and I'm not talking about the UCFs of the world, it's the middle of the road, Big Ten, SEC, and ACC teams. They have to feel like they're just doing something that's not just window dressing every year. And I feel like a lot of programs, more than you'd realize, are feeling like that, and so I think 12 is fine. I wouldn't go beyond 12, but I feel like that's a nice happy medium because there is a significant appetite for the power brokers in college football and the fans of college football to feel like that they're not just wasting their time with the 12 games they play during the fall.
Will Pelagic from WFNZ joining us here on the Rundown. As always, I appreciate it, sir, and of course, you got to follow him on Twitter. He's at Willie P Style, and once again, man, thanks for joining us today, bud.
My pleasure, Rob, anytime.
All right, there you go. Will Pelagic joining us here today, bringing us some knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. The stuff with the Panthers and how much they're going to depend on former Gamecock defensive back J.C. Horn. I think that Matt Rhule has the aura about Matt Rhule is, hey, he's a guy that's an offensive coach, but this Panthers defense, I'm not saying they're going to be outstanding, but if you told me, hey, pick the better unit, I'd have to go with the Panthers defense with the pieces that they've got now. I mean, we have the whole thing with Sam Darnold, and everybody's like, all right, Sam Darnold was, he had some good things happen to him, but he went to the Jets, and the Jets are a gong show. Yes, I can get that. But you wonder if Sam Darnold has happy feet, meaning he got hit so much in New York that he feels like the train's rolling through every time. And you don't know. We don't know how that's going to work out. I think losing Mike Davis and Mike Davis going to Atlanta is a big deal because Christian McCaffrey has had issues staying on the field. When he's on the field, he's great. But the other thing, too, is when Christian McCaffrey had his biggest season, the Panthers weren't that good. I mean, he had the season where he had over 100 receptions? They finished, 5-11, whatever it was? For the Panthers to return back to the playoffs, in my opinion, it's going to have to be on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that J.C. Horn's a piece that can make them more versatile and they can have that opportunity to expand there a little bit on that side and then hopefully get enough from the offense to get there. All right, we come back. We got to talk about this proposed 12-team playoff. It's a little bit different from what we thought it was yesterday. We'll get into that in just a moment. Also, WWE Women's Champion Rhea Ripley joins us later on. This is The Rundown. You're on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining us today. The College Football Playoff Committee, which is basically it's the SEC commissioner, the Big 12 commissioner, Notre Dame's athletic director, and the commissioner of the Mountain West. It's like, what are these? It's kind of a weird field. Anyway, they say they want a 12-team model, which includes the six highest-ranked conference champions plus six at-large spots. So with that, the field from last season, this is the way that this is the way that things will look. If we went by last year's numbers, Alabama would be the one seed, Clemson the two seed, Ohio State the three, Notre Dame the four, and that's how that would work out. They would get the byes. Texas A&M would be the five seed. They would take on Coastal Carolina, the 12 seed, Oklahoma and Indiana. You know, Indiana kind of got throttled a little bit because of they lost that game to Ohio State, even though they were right there in the game. Ohio State had to have a pick six to put them away. And the Big Ten said, hey, you know, we understand that you had more Big Ten wins than Ohio State, but we want Ohio State there because we don't care what you think, Indiana. You're a basketball school. We're sending Ohio State, which is exactly what they did. I know everybody's like, oh, it's a COVID year, Rob. Yeah, I'm tired of hearing that too. They really should look at what they lost the one game up there. Silly. The Big Ten, their league office is absolute garbage with the way that they deal with things. Remember, this is the same league. Oh, we're not playing. Oh, we are playing. Oh, they're waiting forever to try to get things done. And, you know, I don't like doing the whole conference superiority thing, but you got to give respect to Greg Sankey with the SEC from the start. He was like, look, we're going to monitor the way that things are, and then we're going to go from there. The ACC was essentially the same way. But the Big Ten, they were like, yeah, whatever. We're not doing it. That's kind of the vibe that you got from them. Now, the Pac-12 was going to follow whatever it is the Big Ten decided to do. But once they had the season, oh, well, we're just sending. Since they had a head-to-head win, even though Illinois had more conference wins, now we're not going to send them to the Big Ten championship game. We're not going to do that. We have to send Ohio State. What a mess. Anyway, I like those matchups. A couple of them would be interesting. I think Oklahoma, Indiana would be good. Florida and Iowa State would be pretty good. And Cincinnati and Georgia, we've already seen that matchup. I think that Georgia would probably do better if it were a playoff atmosphere over, hey, we're just playing in what is essentially a meaningless bowl game. They had so many guys that opted out and everything else. So it's been a little bit more of a different look for the Georgia football team. Game was a little bit closer against Cincinnati than it probably should have been. But I think if Georgia had everybody there, then that would be a little bit different. Anyway, your thoughts on the 12-team proposal here. Is it too much? Do you like the idea of the six highest-ranked conference champions? That opens it up for the group of five. It really does. Now, if you have a year, well, it's going to, another thing that'll be interesting too, is that if you have a year where a Power Five champion doesn't exactly have the stellar record, you know, a 9-3 team or an 8-4 team, whatever, wins the conference championship. And then, you know, that's going to, I think that'll affect the way that they're seeded. So I kind of like that. I don't like the idea.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Of, hey, you're going to have home games in round one, but not in round two. I mean, I know you get a bye, but still. So there are good and bad with everything here. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832 is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on the Rundown this afternoon on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Of course, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. And if you want to discuss that, if you want to talk about the stuff with the Panthers, we can get into that too. Is Deshaun Watson going to play in Denver? That's kind of, that name keeps coming up. Oh, he wants to go to Denver. Oh, he wants to go to Denver. Well, I want to be 6'5", but I'm not going to be 6'5". You may not have the opportunity to do that. Either way, we shall see how that works out for you. But you've also got the Aaron Rodgers saga where he hasn't shown up to camp. They rolled out Love, the backup quarterback who's going to be the eventual starter for Green Bay. Man, he looked like a pro. They asked him, are you ready to start in week one? And his exact words were, I was drafted to play quarterback here. I will be ready week one if they need me to be. As a Packers fan, I'm like, all right. It wasn't any of this stuff of, hey, we want Aaron Rodgers back. No, I was drafted to play quarterback. They need me in week one. Then I'm going to be ready to go. I like that, regardless of what team you play for. Absolutely love it. What a great, great mentality to have. We need a lot more of that, by the way. Not to get off onto the whole tangent here about it, but I like the idea of having a go-getters, man. I really do. We know that Aaron Rodgers is talented, won the MVP. But the guy behind him is like, if they need me to play, this is what they drafted me to do. That's what I'm going to go and do. It's none of this awkwardness. None of this slowness of, oh, well, mate, no. I'm ready to go. Kind of like that. The PGA Tour is in our state of South Carolina with the, it's called, the Palmetto Challenge. And leading the way earlier today was former Clemson golfer, Doc Redman. He's at 6 under, followed by Dustin Johnson, the Midlands native, who went to Coastal. He's at 6 under. Former Clemson golfer Jonathan Bird's at 3 under. And we see some other numbers that are up here as they finish their rounds. Johnny Vegas is at 5 under. Lee's at 4 under. Good round for him as they're playing in the at the Congaree Golf Club for the Palmetto Championship. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Jacked up here in a moment, I got to interview WWE Women's Champion Rhea Ripley earlier today, and we're going to have that interview for you when we come back. She is a the more you talk to her, you realize how amazing that she is. She is the WWE Women's Champion, and she's like 22 years old. So it's kind of funny because, you know, I think of, and I know that most people look at, you got to be young to do the professional wrestling. She's actually 24. But she goes out there and performs at a world-class level at 24 years old. When I was 24 years old, I was not very efficient at all. And to see someone go out and do the things that she does, pretty outstanding. So we'll have our conversation with Rhea Ripley. By the way, WWE Super Show coming to the Colonial Life Arena. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. So you people that like to get your seats right up next to the ring, yeah, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., that's when the sales will be getting started. And it's a Super Show, so you've got Raw and SmackDown superstars. Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns, all of them will be in the mix there. at the Colonial Life Arena, August 15th. That's when the show is. All right, Rhea Ripley, when we return, this is The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Shout out to the folks watching on YouTube and Facebook. We appreciate them. USC Insider says former Gamecock Jonathan Joseph is retiring. He was a great player there for the Gamecocks. So we talk about that when we come back. But I have to give you the interview that I just did a little bit before we went on the air today with Raw Women's Champion Rhea Ripley, young lady from Australia that, you know, 8 years ago she decided to go to wrestling camp, and now she's the women's champion for the WWE. Here's the interview I did with Rhea Ripley. Of course, get your tickets for the WWE Coming to Columbia, August the 15th, on sale tomorrow at 11 a.m. Make sure you get your tickets now and at the Colonial Life Arena. All of your favorite WWE and SmackDown and Raw superstars, Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns, Rhea Ripley, Bayley's going to be there, all kinds of folks where you can enjoy your WWE product. So, all right, so here's my interview I did with the Raw Women's Champion, Rhea Ripley. Welcome back into The Rundown here on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Out to the hotline we go. We welcome in Raw Women's Champion, Rhea Ripley. Rhea, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, no worries, mate. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you with us today, of course. You're getting set for Hell in a Cell on Peacock June 20th, where you will put your championship on the line against Charlotte. I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, but first we got to talk about tickets going on sale tomorrow down here at the Colonial Life Arena. It's going to be a WWE super show. All of your favorite Raw and SmackDown superstars, including Rhea herself, will be there, but tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Rhea, is this your first Hell in a Cell match?
It is, actually, yes.
I mean,
very excited.
Yeah, that is an intimidating structure to walk into.
Yeah, I mean, I'm up for anything. I like a good challenge.
Well, and you're going to step in there with Charlotte, who just in a regular match is tough as it is, but Hell in a Cell, of course, coming up on June 20th, and I'm working your way towards that. Now, you mentioned you're up for all kinds of challenges, but obviously getting to a point where you are the Raw Women's Champion, I mean, that's a heck of a challenge to take on its own. When did you decide you wanted to be a WWE superstar?
Oh, man, it's a long story. I mean, growing up, I've always been a little bit different, and I've always loved sports, and I've always played everything that I can. So I played soccer for like 9 years, and I just had enough, and I was watching wrestling at the time. Like, I had been watching it for a few years. I really, really loved it, really enjoyed it, and I found somewhere in South Australia that did it, and I was like, you know what, let me give it a go. Like, it's rough, and I like rough sports. I've always been a rough kid, so I was like, yeah, but let's try it. I turned 16, I tried out, and they accepted me. So I was training at Riot City Wrestling for a while. I went to Japan, and then, I don't know, I was just like, I really wanted to make it to WWE, but being from Australia, I knew it was going to be really tough, especially because they didn't really hire too many Australians at the time, but it was like slowly growing, which was great, especially great for me. So I don't know, I just love the brutality in wrestling, and I think that's what really drew me as a kid into it.
You know, you mentioned being from Australia. What is the wrestling scene like there? I mean, here in the United States, obviously, we've got the WWE, and that's kind of it's just part of culture here. Is wrestling as big over there as it is here?
It's definitely growing, and I love it. When I first actually realized that there was wrestling in Australia, it wasn't very big, because I had no idea whatsoever that there was any live wrestling in Australia. I watched WWE, and then I went to Queensland on a holiday, and we saw a wrestling flyer, and I was like, I didn't know there was wrestling in Australia. So we went to the show, and like after that, like, I slowly found it, but you really had to look for it at the time. Australian wrestling, the scene there is like slowly growing every single year. The performers there are like so incredibly talented, and they're really fighting for Australian wrestling, and I'm so happy to see more eyes getting on it like right now and all that talent actually being discovered. As you see in WWE, there's been a lot of Australians hired over the last couple of years, and I think that's absolutely amazing. That's really like credit where credit is due in the Australian industry, because they're just really pushing for it. They're fighting for their spotlight, and I'm so glad that it's all like growing.
Rhea Ripley, the Raw Women's Champion, joining us here on The Rundown this afternoon. You know, when people see you in the ring, I mean, you are the nightmare. You mentioned you said you've been a little bit different, but when I see you, I just see you as, man, she'd probably throw me around if she got angry with me. But how much of your persona in the ring can we find out of the ring?
It's definitely 110% me. It's me when I get really, really mad. So it's the side of me that I try to, like, I guess, like, keep quiet a little bit, just because I probably shouldn't be acting that way in my everyday life, and I might actually get arrested if I did. But it is definitely me, and wrestling is like my place where I can let all my anger sort of like come out, and it's really my like release. So that's, it's very, very much me and my personality.
What are some of the biggest challenges? You know, you guys are going back out on the road now, and I know that from wrestlers that I've talked to in the past, you know, a lot of them can feed off of the crowd, but you've had to do a lot where you're basically in a bubble. What's the biggest challenges performing during the pandemic?
I think the biggest challenge is just like sort of getting that adrenaline rush that you get when there's a live crowd there. It's just, you still get it, but it's not as much. And also just knowing if like the crowd actually like likes what you're doing, because you don't have that noise there coming from them, so you don't really know if they're liking or hating something. So just trying to like do everything well, I guess. It's been very, very different not having a crowd, and it's taken a lot of adjusting for all of us. That's why I think we're all so excited to have a crowd back, and I know that the crowd's really excited to have us back as well.
Of course, you did some time in NXT. Tell us about what you learned there. That was kind of like the building blocks to get you to the point where now you're the Raw Women's Champion, right?
Yeah, I think I just really found my confidence in NXT and NXT UK. The Rhea Ripley that you saw in the first Mae Young Classic, like, I was very shy. I still am a bit shy today, like in my everyday life. I just try to like have more confidence when I'm at work, which I think I definitely need, and I'm glad that I've grown over the years. I was very, very unconfident in myself and my abilities, and I just tried to like listen to everyone and please everyone, where like in NXT and NXT UK, I sort of like taught myself that I just have to not care about absolutely everything, and that was the biggest struggle for me. And just like find my true self, and let that really shine in the ring. So NXT UK and NXT taught me a lot about myself, not just like in the wrestling ring, but like outside as well in my everyday life. And I think that's my biggest lesson that I've had here.
Well, I have to ask you, because the first time that I seen you, I was like, she oozes confidence. That was the first thing that came to my head. She's going to go to the ring and she's going to just pop somebody. Why is it that you have issues with confidence outside of the ring?
I'm not sure, really. I think just like me as a person and how I got raised and what I went through in school and all that sort of stuff, I think I'm just not the most confident person. I'm very judgy on myself as well, which doesn't help. But I think we all are. But I've definitely learned over the years that I can't let things bother me as much, and I think that's really helped. But, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to explain, really. I don't know. My everyday life, I'm just me.
Final couple of questions with the Raw Women's Champion, Rhea Ripley, this afternoon. Who are your mentors in as far as wrestling goes? I mean, who has really helped make you who you are when you head to the ring?
Obviously, like my coaches back in Australia, Matt and Chris Basso, they helped me from the start. They saw things in me that not everyone saw, which was like, I really do thank them for that. In NXT, I would say Scotty Too Hottie for sure. He was there for me every step of the way, and he believed in me when he saw that others didn't. And he saw when I was down and when I was thinking negatively of myself. And when I was at the lowest of lows, he really helped bring me back up and grow that confidence. I think Scotty is one of the main reasons why I am as confident as I am today. And I can't thank him enough. He's held my hand the whole time in NXT, and I really thank him for that.
Rhea Ripley joining us here on the Rundown this afternoon. My final question for you today, you know, going back out on the road and traveling, do you have an interesting road story? Because it seems like the wrestlers that I've chatted with before, they've had things happen to them, you know, going to get late night burritos, et cetera. But have you been able to experience some silly stuff on the road?
Yeah, there's lots and lots of stories. I mean, one of the main ones is like, Raquel and I, we have this road tradition where if we're traveling together, every single trip that we go on, we have to get a tattoo.
You're going to run out of space soon. I mean, you do so many shows.
I know. It was a lot easier in NXT because you just did the road loop like once, maybe twice a month, but like sometimes we wouldn't be on it together, where now I feel like we're definitely going to cover up every inch of our bodies.
Tattoos for road trips. That sounds so great. Rhea Ripley, the Raw Women's Champion, joining us today. Of course, she is on Twitter at Rhea Ripley _WWE. And of course, she will be at the WWE Super Show. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. right here at the Colonial Life Arena. Of course, all your favorite Raw and SmackDown superstars, including Rhea herself and Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley, Bianca Belair. Rhea, thanks for joining us today here on the Rundown. I appreciate it.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Thanks so much. All right, there you go. Rhea Ripley from the WWE joining us here on the Rundown. It's always cool to talk to them because, I mean, the WWE really is a traveling circus. I mean, you're in a different town every night. You work, what, 4 days a week, 5 days a week, whatever it is, but all over the place. And, you know, she started wrestling 8 years ago in Australia. And then, oh, now she's the WWE Women's Champion for Raw. So cool stuff there. I will definitely be at that show. I go to all the WWE stuff that comes here. Still locked into that from when I was a child. Anyway, looking forward to that. Get your tickets on sale tomorrow for the big super show on the 15th of August. All right, quick break and we come back. Final segment of the Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. Thank our guests for joining us today. Will Pelagia from WFNZ and, of course, Rhea Ripley from the WWE. We appreciate her. The Raw Women's Champion doing her thing there. We'll have the podcast up for that this afternoon. You can go and check that out. If you missed it, she says that her road trip tradition is getting a tattoo. You're going to run out of space. Tom Online says Zack Ryder was the biggest waste of talent in WWE history. Nobody had a following like his and never got pushed to the front. He made a song, and it's called Hoski. I will be firing up the old Google machine to look up Hoski later on with Zack Ryder. By the way, we talked a little bit earlier about the college football playoff expanding. One coach is already putting his stuff out there that he likes it, and that is Gus Malzahn. Yeah, you remember Gus Malzahn, the coach that went, 3-5 in his eight matchups with Nick Saban, and that's not good enough, and Auburn had to send him on his way. So they're trying to bring in the Mountain West Conference, bring one of those coaches in here, even though he hired SEC retreads and basically failures at other places to be his assistants. Anyway, Gus Malzahn's down at UCF, and he's laughing openly. Tweeted out a picture earlier of a UCF jersey with the number 12 on it and says it's a game changer. Yeah, because you know what? UCF in the coming years, if it gets to a 12-team playoff, will have an easier shot to get into the playoff than Auburn does. Yes, because Auburn plays on the money side of the SEC. They're not in the East. They're in the West where they have to play LSU, Texas A&M, Alabama, those teams every season. So Auburn has to their road's a little bit tougher, but their coach, who they didn't exactly treat correctly, but in the end, he got his money anyway, and he got a new job. But he'll be in the college football. That's one of my stone cold predictions. If they do the 12 team playoff, Gus Malzahn will lead UCF there before Auburn gets there. Seriously. In the 12-team era, Gus Malzahn at UCF will have more of an opportunity to be in the college football playoff, and he'll probably get there more than Auburn will. I honestly believe that will happen. I'm worried for the Auburn fans that this move with Harzon isn't going to work. We shall see. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. Tom online says, according to 247 Sports, five of the top 10 toughest schedules are SEC teams. Yes, but they're going on what they project them to be. Once again, we've talked about this. Your schedule, you determine how tough your schedule is once the season has been played. I don't understand why people don't understand that. Just because you think, oh my goodness, they have to go to Mizzou at night and that's going to be hard. Or they have to do... No, it comes down to how did those teams finish? We can use Florida State from a couple of years ago when DeAndre Francois got knocked out in that first game against Alabama, and Florida State went, 6-6? They were projected to be the number 5 team in the country. We had a top 5 matchup, Alabama and Florida State, at the beginning of the season. Florida State was hot dog water. I don't understand why people... Oh, well, my team is projected to have the toughest schedule. No, you're not. You could be projected, but in reality, they may not be that way. South Carolina could have, we could even go further to say, they could have a tougher schedule. What if East Carolina ends up being outstanding and going on the road there ends up being a tough, tough challenge? They just think, oh, well, South Carolina's got to play Georgia and they've got to play Florida and Texas A&M, and that's hard. Yeah, that you don't know how great they're going to be. It's all projections. Silly. I project that Clemson Sports Talk is a show that you will like. I project you will like Lawton Swann.
Stop looking at me, Swann.
Lawton Swann will join us today from 4 to 6. Of course, you can find him here on the Fox Sports Radio 1400, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. He has a podcast for his show. Go and check him out, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Podcast for this show is going to be up at about 5 o'clock today. All right, so we will see you tomorrow. We'll talk about the big recruiting weekend that's on the horizon for several programs. We'll get into that tomorrow here on The Rundown. Thanks for checking us out on Fox Sports Radio 1400.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.